This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
We had part two of wrestling with the religious. And if you remember, Jesus, during that time, was dealing with people who have all the appearance of being God's people, but deep down inside, they were not, because they were living a double life. He exposed those faults. He looked to the religious leaders and he pointed his finger at them and he literally pronounced woes upon them. And they were not easy words. They were divine words, that they were righteous words, but they weren't easy. And particularly because as we read them, we felt that these are things that we struggle with. These are things that we struggle with, but we have to keep in mind that Jesus was addressing, at that point, Jesus was addressing people who were not his people. In the sense of, they rejected him. They were people who were outside of the kingdom of God. But they tried as much as they could to give the appearance of that. Okay? And then, so he's addressing that audience. And what he does now is he turns away from those religious folks and he turns to his disciples. Okay, so this is when we hear, we listen. Because God is speaking to us. He's saying, watch out for a group of people who are going to act and behave as if they are the people of God, but deep down inside they know they're not and they're rejecting him. But now he's going to turn his attention to us. Okay, so if you notice in your bulletins, there's a title of the message I was going to do, Wrestling with the Religious Part 3, but I chose not to, because the Lord laid on my heart something particularly about this passage of Scripture that was fascinating. The title of the message is Beware of Wearing a Mask. Beware of wearing a mask. Now, just wait, okay? So, join with me. I really encourage you to follow along because there is some rich, deep, fascinating truth here that we are to be given by God. So we are in Luke chapter 12. I just want to draw your attention to the first verse there. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, okay? So remember, he was addressing those guys. Okay, the religious fakes. Now he turns his attention and he comes to the disciples. He says, beware. Stop right there. When Jesus Christ tells you to beware, you listen. Christ uses this phrase only four times in the book of Luke. And here is the first time. Okay? Give attention. Take heed. Be on your guard. Watch for this. If the Son of God tells you to beware of something, you beware of it. You better drop what you're doing and give your undivided attention. You don't want to miss this. Okay? He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, if Christ didn't explain that, we'd be like, beware of yeast? What? And it's amazing how the mind works, because the mind can process words in a split second, before the next word is spoken. So imagine Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the moment the disciples hear the word leaven, they think yeast. And what about yeast? What about leaven are they going to think of? Well, first, the thing about leaven is that it could exist without being immediately detected. Okay? You know, yeast is the agent you put into dough and it makes dough rise. And immediately it won't be detected. You put yeast into dough, you don't know it's there at first. Okay? That's one thing they would have thought of. Secondly, is that leaven permeates throughout its host. So when you put leaven into dough, it spreads. It permeates the whole dough. And the third thing that they would have thought of is that it swells. When you put leaven into dough, it causes a swelling. It upsets the host. That's why bread becomes puffy. It releases a gas as a byproduct of the yeast engaging with the elements of the dough. That's why when you're making a kombucha, some of you drink kombucha, it makes it naturally fizzy. Because the yeast is working in with the sugars and it's creating this bubbly effect. So the disciples would have thought, okay, leaven, it creates a filling, a puffiness, a swelling. So Jesus says, beware of the yeast. So whatever Jesus is talking about, immediately the disciples would have realized that he's saying, beware, it'll be hidden inside of you at first. Beware, it'll permeate you throughout. And beware, it'll puff you up. So what is it, Jesus? Okay, what does Jesus say? He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. What is it, Jesus? His answer, it's wearing a mask. The effects of wearing a mask will not be immediately detected. The effects of wearing a mask will permeate you throughout. The effects of wearing a mask will puff you up. And I'll add that the effects of wearing a mask will be the greatest hindrance to spreading the gospel. It's right there. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Okay? No, Jesus is not talking about the COVID cloths that people wear on their faces. He's talking about hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is wearing a mask. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I found this explanation that was so eye-opening. It's by this woman, Peggy Street. She says this, the two nouns, hypocrisy and hypocrite, are compound words. So you have a hypocrite who his life is seen by hypocrisy, or you have hypocrisy in general. Okay, compound words. They're comprised of hupo, which means under, and krino, which means to judge. It literally means to judge under, as a person gives a judgment from behind a screen or mask. The true identity of the person is covered up. It refers to acts of impersonation or deception and was used as an actor on the Greek stage. In Greek drama, actors held over their faces oversized masks painted to represent the character that they were portraying. And so in life, the hypocrite is a person who masks his real self while playing a part for the audience. Okay? So, when I was in school, I was in the drama club. I enjoyed being part of the drama club. We'd have these plays every so often. One of my first plays that I was in middle school. I forget which grade. I think it might have been sixth grade or seventh grade. And we were doing Little Red Riding Hood, and I was cast as the skunk. Now, it is likely, as I pondered about this later and talked to my wife, it is likely that I was cast as a skunk because in reality, I really did stink as a little boy. And my only line in that play was, I can't help it. It's just the way I am. And I can't help but think later if there was a reason for that being my only line. Now, if I lived in the time of the Bible, if I lived in the time of ancient Greek, and I was on stage and I was playing the part of a skunk, they would have said to me, I am a hypocrite. Because back then, a hypocrite was an actor. I had my skunk costume, I had my big tail behind me, I had my black and white face. Okay, but when the play was over, when it was done, I took the mask off. And who I really was became known. So hypocrisy is wearing a mask, playing a part. Now, seeing as I led you on to think I was going to go on a diatribe against pandemic mask wearing, which I won't, I will say this. There was an example of wearing a mask in Menards when there was an argument about wearing a mask. Okay, so there was an example of hypocrisy. I went into Menards and I was with my coworker. We had to get something quick, and I'll admit, I'm not going to get into whether it's right or wrong. I didn't wear one. I went in, and I was harassed a couple of times, but we just got something quick. We were going to the checkout line, and I looked for a checkout line that didn't have a lot of people, so I didn't have to wait long. I went to this one line, and there was a woman there who was a shorter woman, she was older, she had short hair, and I don't know what it was. Maybe I was being judgmental, but I just looked at her. I said, I don't want to go in this line. And so I turned around and I started walking away. Well, my judgment, whatever it was, got confirmed because the moment I turned away, I heard a siren go off from her vocal cord saying, sir, sir, you need a mask. You need a mask in order to be here. And so she came right up to me and I turned around and I looked at this woman was literally right here next to me. And I wish I had thought about it at the time. I thought about it later. I said, you're not 6 feet away from me, woman. And so I just ignored her and I went to the next line. Well, the manager came up to myself and the co-worker and said, sir, we need to ask that you put this mask on. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, why are you enforcing customers to wear masks when your own employees are not? Because as I went throughout the store, I saw employees who had masks below their nose. Now, this is the point. She looked at me and she said, oh, that's okay. You can wear it below your nose. And it hit me. I realized that she was asking me to be a hypocrite. Why? Because the whole purpose of wearing a mask is so you stop little particles from leaving your mouth and nose to spread, around you. But she said it was okay to wear a mask as long as it was okay to be below the nose. It didn't matter whether it was being effective. She was asking me to play the part to wear a mask of somebody who wears a mask. You see, it was hypocrisy. And it hit me. I didn't give any opinion on whether it was right or wrong. Okay, I was just using that as an example of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is often called playing the part. Playing the part of being virtuous. That's why I'm calling it wearing a mask, because I put on my mask to pretend to be somebody I am not. Okay? I hide behind a persona. I've memorized my lines and I'm ready to take the stage. Hypocrisy is an outward display of virtue, of religiosity, of strict observance to legalistic, unscriptural regulations and traditions. And it was this behavior that motivated Jesus to pronounce judgments on the Pharisees. They were wearing a mask. They played the part. They were hypocritically religious. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, it's a mirror account of the woes to the Pharisees, but he says this, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. They walked around town making sure people saw their devotions, but behind the doors their heart was full of pride, arrogance, hatred for the lowly of society, greed, and self-indulgence. They were Hollywood stars. They were Amazon Prime's best. They were Netflix's cream of the crop, Golden Globe winning actors of religion. But remember, like I said at the beginning of the message, Jesus isn't talking to them anymore. He said what he had to say. Now he turns to his disciples and he says, beware of that. It's like leaven. You won't notice it at first. It's like leaven. It'll permeate you throughout. It's like leaven. It'll puff you up, make you proud. So we're listening right now. Because hypocrisy has been, as I said, one of the greatest hindrances to the gospel. How many young people walked away from the church because they said the church is full of hypocrites? How many people don't even dream of ever wanting to join the worship of God in this building because they said they're just full of hypocrites? We'd rather go play ball across the street. Hypocrisy. So we're listening. Jesus says, beware, okay? And right now, I'm sure all of us are like, okay, Jesus, we don't want to be that. We don't want to be fake. We don't want to be double-minded. We don't want to be duplicitous. We want to be thorough. We want to be a person, a people of integrity. We want to be the same in the church as we are out of the church. We want to be the faithful Christian that we're supposed to be when we're at work, when we're with our family, when we're with our friends and we're all in a circle cracking jokes. We want to be the same through and through. We want to be like you, Jesus, who is the same at every moment. No matter what situation, we knew it was you. You were never someone different. You were always who you are. We don't want one ounce of pretense. We want to be maskless. So Jesus gives us some help. How to beware of wearing a mask. Or if you're still confused about the play on words, how to beware of hypocrisy. First, remember that reality will become clear. Second, forsake the fear of man. Third, let the Holy Spirit live through you. First, remember that reality will become clear. Verse 2, okay? That was all about verse 1. We're in verse 2. Remember that all reality will be clear. Look this here. For there is nothing... This is... When I was studying this, this was so... I just couldn't take it all in. But there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Okay, beware of hypocrisy because, remember, reality will become clear. Now, when Jesus says this, he's talking about a future date, a future judgment. Someday will come and everything will be made known. At some point, the play will end. At some point, the charade will be over. At some point, the masks will be taken off, Pharisees. This is true for the whole world. Jesus is talking in general here. Okay? A day is coming at some point when everything will become clear as to what really happened. Everything will become uncovered. At some point, reality will become clear as to what really happened in Wuhan. At some point, reality will become clear as to what really happened with Ravi Zacharias. At some point, reality will become clear as to what really happened on November 6th. At some point, reality will become clear as to what really is going on in our administration in this country right now. Because the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That means that who people really are when nobody is watching is seen by God and will be uncovered at the judgment. That means in Jesus' day, all the Jews who were bowing to the unbearable burdens of the Pharisees will be aware that it was all a sham. But that's just in general. That's just in general. Then Jesus turns the general to the specific in verse 3. Okay, he said there is nothing, everything covered that will not be revealed in verse 3. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Jesus says, in order to beware of hypocrisy, remember that reality will become clear in verse 2, in specific, in general. In general, in verse 2, remember that reality will become clear, but also specifically for you and for me. That is stunning. I'm going to hear everything that you ever said about me. And you're going to hear everything that I ever said about you. Everyone. No exception. At this point, when I was studying this message and I looked at that verse, at this point I said, praise you, God, for the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. If judgment was based on what we said alone, not even our actions or not even what we thought, we'd be lost. We'd be lost. So thankfully for a believer, our judgment is not based on our works. Our judgment is based on the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, forgiving us of our sins. But there is a day coming when we will stand before Christ and we will give an account, and He will distribute rewards accordingly to how we use the free grace that He gave us in this life. For a believer, our judgment is a judgment of rewards in heaven, solely delivered because of His grace, all its glory cast at His feet. But that doesn't take away from the fact that reality will become clear. So what Jesus is saying, beware of hypocrisy, because what you say and what you do behind closed doors will be revealed. When we think someday what I say, do, and even think will be revealed, it prompts us to flee to God for more grace. It prompts us to sprint to Jesus for help to be thorough, to be what He wants us to be. It prompts us to come to God and cry out to Him, just like David did in Psalm 25 when he said, keep my soul and deliver me from myself. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in You. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for You. Integrity. The word integrity means completeness, fullness, without mixture of conflicting and competing elements. It's like a certain dish that my wife has made in the past. It's actually very good. They look like brownies, but they're called black bean brownies. Fascinating. They look like brownies. They taste like brownies. Got a little bit of a different texture, but they're good. They're made of black beans. They don't have flour in them, or I don't know how she does it. But there's like that, there's that competing mixture. It's supposed to be brownie, but it's got black beans. And a brownie of integrity is a brownie with flour and chocolate and all sugar and stuff like that. If we want to be men and women of integrity, we want to be exactly what we are called to be by God, not with conflicting elements of opposing personalities. To be a man or woman of integrity is to be a man or woman of God fully through and through. Every ounce of our being screams, man of God, woman of God. We want this. We pray for this. And one way to cultivate that in our lives is to remember that reality will become clear. Secondly, forsake the fear of man. Okay, forsake the fear of man. So remember, Jesus, he spoke out to the Pharisees, then he turns to his disciples and he says, for, remember, everything will be made known. And then in verse 4, he's continuing the thought process. Look at this. In verse 4, and I say to you, okay? Jesus is giving another reason. He's giving another explanation to avoid hypocrisy. He says, and I say to you, my friends. Now just stop right there. The title of this series that we're going through, Luke, is called A Friend in Jesus, okay? Jesus literally turns to his disciples and he says, my friends. There's that word of affection. There's that word of bondage, of closeness. He turns to you. He's speaking to us these words because he loves us. He loves you so much. He wants you to grow and be all that God has called you to be. So he's teaching you. He's saying, watch out for them. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. Forsake the fear of man. These statements are gold mines. Gold mines. We're striking gold. We could spend one Sunday a week, just one verse for every Sunday. But I'd like to finish Luke before I die. But I might die next week, so never mind. But it's just full of rich gold truth that we just, Lord, help us understand this. Okay. Sometimes we wear a mask because of we're trying to hide a sin. Okay, that's what Jesus was referring to in verse 2 and 3. He says, don't think that because you hide a mask to cover up a sin, you're going to get away with it. It's going to be revealed. Okay, but here in verse 4, it's not that so much. Here he's saying, don't wear a mask because we're afraid of what people might think about us. We're afraid of what people might do to us, which is kind of a sin, but you see the difference there. Okay? Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of what people will think, say, or do to you. Don't have to put on a mask to be somebody else so you avoid that persecution. Now, he's very specific here, if you notice. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Okay, after that, they have no more they can do. And for us, you know, American believers, it's hard to connect with that. The disciples in Jesus' day, they're going to come to a point in their lives where they're going to remember these words, and it's going to be so precious to them. Many of you have heard about the Emperor Nero. He lived right after the time of Christ. Many of the disciples were killed at his hand, Peter and Paul in particular. He was the emperor of Rome. What Nero used to do, some of you have gardens where or pathways outside your house where you've got little solar lights kind of lining the pathway so you can see at night. What Nero used to do is he had these beautiful gardens, just gorgeous gardens, and he would like to show off his gardens to his friends and whatnot. And what he used to do is he would take Christians, because he was kind of a psychopath, and he burnt Rome to the ground for the spectacular joy of it, and he had to blame somebody for it, so he blamed the Christians because they were a nuisance anyway. And so there was this big persecution against the Christians, and so what he would do is he would take these Christians and he would tar their bodies, and he would tie them to poles alongside his gardens, and at night he'd light them on fire to light his pathway. And so if you were a Christian and you're there, I just want to step outside of 21st century America, put ourselves in first century Christianity. If you were a Christian, your body was full of tar and you were in searing pain and you were tied to a pole and you're ready to be lit on fire, these words make sense. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do nothing. And if you were a Christian, you'd be there and you'd be saying, I'm not afraid. What are they going to do? They're going to bring me to Jesus. In fact, I feel bad for you, Nero. Because after this life is over, there is a fire that will not be short as mine. But that doesn't mean that this scripture verse doesn't mean anything for us. Because it's likely. Now, I really don't know. It's likely that we will probably not have to be tarred and put on poles and burned. In our country, it's likely that we may not be beheaded. I don't know. It may happen. Things are changing rapidly. But it's likely. I could just say it's likely. Don't say like you're going to bring that upon us because you're saying, no, I'm just saying, judging by human reasoning and the flow of our lives in our lifetime, it may not happen where we are going to be tarred and lit on fire. It may. Just so we know, things can happen in a second, as we saw last year. Amen? Okay? But what does this verse mean to me? And what does this verse mean to them across seas in other countries who are being beheaded in our day and age? It means this: do not fear man. That's how you avoid hypocrisy. The fear of man is constricting. Somehow we allow other people to exercise incredible power over us. And they don't even know it. When we want to share the gospel with someone, all of a sudden we're afraid and we don't do it. We let them have power over our souls. But Jesus says they can't touch you there. They can't touch your soul. So when we fear men, we let them have power over what they are not. They do not have power over. They can't touch your soul. God alone has power over our souls. In verse 5, but I show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now that's a confusing passage. Because believers don't fear judgment. But if you notice, it's lest we think that eternal security is being questioned here. Notice how it's a very general statement. He says, I tell you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed can cast into hell. Yes, fear him. He doesn't say, fear him who can, after he has killed you, a believer, can cast you into hell. He's not saying that. He's saying that God is the one you should fear because he does have the power to take somebody who is not a believer and kill them and cast them into hell. All he's saying is, remember, they can't touch your soul. God can touch souls. And so what that does for us is when we're in the moment and we're thinking, they're going to think I'm weird. Okay? We immediately think, but God. But God has power over all. They can't touch me. You see what Jesus is doing? You see what he's saying? The unbeliever has no problem living out who they truly are. They have no problem speaking about what interests them most, promoting what they find most valuable. I found it's easier for an unbeliever to be unashamed as an unbeliever than it is for a believer to be unashamed as a believer. Because that fear of man, Satan uses that to stifle us. And so what we do is we put on a mask. And we say, no, I'm kind of like you. We can get along. We're just okay. That didn't bother me at all. This is how much concern Jesus has for your soul. He's saying, if we were to ask Jesus, okay, I won't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but what does that mean for me? And now, today, he's saying this: don't be concerned about what men think of you. They can't touch your soul. Be concerned about what God thinks of you. Only God can touch the soul. Live in fear, not of judgment of hell, but of God, who is holy and desires what is best for you. And then he takes it one step further to prove and to show you how much God cares for you and your soul. Look at verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them, not one of them is forgotten by God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I'm rapidly making it easier for God. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 coins? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Jesus isn't saying that sparrows are worthless. In fact, Jesus is saying that sparrows have so much worth that God sees to it personally that they are fed, that they are taken care of. And every sparrow doesn't die unless God says, okay, now it's time. You want to talk about providence over creation? God personally sees to it that the cells within a sparrow's eyeball is functioning appropriately so it can see the speck of grain on the gravel. God personally sees to it that the male sparrow's throat vibrates at just the right pitch so she's one. And they can make more many sparrows. So what's that got to do with hypocrisy? Because if God is that concerned and involved with little birdies, how much more does God care about you? A human being made in the image of God. And if God really, really, really cares about you and you are His child, then He really wants to see you be all that He has made you to be. He wants to see you rise above that fear of man. Take off that mask of trying to be accepted by man and represent Him. He cares about you that much. So don't fear man. Fearlessly be all that God has called you to be. Confess His name freely. Verse 8. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. That's who He wants you to be, to confess His name, be that all that He has created you to be. Verse 9, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Okay? Hypocrites like Pharisees, they deny Christ. They reject Him. They put on a show, and then one day the play is over. And Jesus says, you are an actor. You are denied. But believers love Jesus, accept Him, and confess Him to the end. Yes, we will stumble and fall. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But he was repentant. He wept. The Bible says he wept bitterly. And Jesus came to him and reinstated him and said, feed my sheep, Peter. You love me. I know it. So we'll stumble and fall. This is talking about those who in their lives reject Jesus, hate Him, but try to benefit from the system that He has instituted. But those who have come to know Christ and are in love with Christ and all that He is, we confess His name, we reject the fear of man, we take off the mask and be all that God has called us to be. When we start doing that, we start to do crazy things for God. We need some believers who are a little crazy. I'm not talking foolish. Perhaps some crazy Davids who stand before 9-foot-tall men and say, you have insulted my God. Perhaps some crazy Pauls who go to places to bring the gospel that he knows they want to chop off his head. perhaps some crazy John Pattons who was a missionary to cannibals. And before he left, the woman said, sir, do you not know that they will eat you? You will be eaten by cannibals. And he looked at her and he said, ma'am, you will be eaten by worms. And he went. Why? Because he didn't fear man, but he feared the glory and name of God, who says, go into all the world and make disciples. Reality will become clear. Forsake the fear of man. Thirdly and lastly, let the Spirit of God live. Let the Spirit of God live. Verse 11. Now when they bring you to the synagogues... Okay, stop right there. 2 points. First, you notice I skipped verse 10. I did that on purpose. Talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. Lord willing, we plan on talking about that for our Sunday evening service next week. So, come out to that. Second thing, now when they bring you to the synagogues, interesting. What were the synagogues? They were the churches of the day. There's going to be a point when believers will have to stand before religion and defend Christ and stand for Christ. And what we just heard earlier is just a taste of what's going on with the Catholic man. Verse 11, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you should say. That is, I love that this section, this discussion ended on that verse, because that is the most beautiful verse out of the whole topic of hypocrisy. How not to wear a mask. That is the key, the whole answer, the whole secret to a life of integrity, a maskless life, a life without hypocrisy is right here. A true believer has something that hypocrites don't have. Hypocrites have a fake Jesus on the outside. True believers have a real Jesus on the inside, living. And so hypocrites, they're so concerned about the outward display of religiosity, whereas believers, we're not concerned about that because Jesus is right there. We don't have to put on masks, we don't have to be fake, because He's right there. And the moment we attempt to put on a mask, Jesus says, whoa, 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 what are you doing? I'm right here to help you. I'm right here to be what God wants you to be. Do you see the beauty of it? The life of God inside of His children. This is the key to avoid that. When Jesus says, beware of that, He's saying, because it's going to be like leaven. You won't notice that at first. It creeps in. Satan is real. But ultimately, don't worry. I'm here to help you. When you stand before magistrates and rulers and authorities and you have to give an account, you don't have to put on a mask to be accepted. I'm here to speak through you. When you're standing before your co-workers and they ask you something that directs relatedly to your faith, you don't have to worry about trying to twist it in a way that you'll become more accepted and put a mask on. You can just speak what God wants you to speak because He's right there. They don't have that. They don't have that inner life inside of them to direct them. They are pretty much just at the whim of the times and the seasons and what's popular, what's not popular. You have God inside of you. You have Almighty God to live inside of you, to direct you, to help you, to live the true life in and through you. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see. But in God's word, the light I found, now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this. Christ liveth in me. This promise is true for you. The Bible says that His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And when you come to God and you say, I take your word for it. If I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, to purify me from all unrighteousness. I take your word that says, these things are written that I may know that I have eternal life. When you accept and receive that glorious salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and it's inside of you. Some days it's not, you go through times and seasons where it's not so, you have to seek God, David says, my soul pants like a deer for streams of living water. Where are you, God? But it breaks through because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and that testifying with His Spirit and our spirit that groans, that cannot be made with words, that we cry out, Abba, Father, comes through. And the Holy Spirit teaches you what you should say in the day of testing when you stand and give an account. This is a beautiful life that we are given, brothers and sisters. This is a beautiful life that we've been given. We've been given the very life of God. If we let the words of this passage grip us, believers, if we let the words of this passage grip us, radical blessings will befall us. Radical blessings. You are made so special, so unique, so purposeful in the hands of God. Don't ever be ashamed of who God made you to be. Beware of wearing a mask. This is so special. Let's come before Him in prayer. Dear Father God in heaven, I ask for Your blessing to come upon us here this morning. I ask that we, as the people of God, would open ourselves completely to You. I ask that we as the people of God would remove any mask pretense, anything that we have set up as a security blanket for the world. Please, Lord, may we lay that aside. And I ask, Lord, for each soul here this morning, I ask that You would show us who You have made us. Who we are, bought by Your precious blood. Who we are, brought into Your family. Not because of what we have done to earn it. Not because of we have made something of ourselves. Not because we have done the right thing in our actions. Lord God, we're helpless. Show in our minds right now Jesus Christ on the cross. There the blood runs from His hands and feet. And there He's looking at us. There His eyes are on us. Lord, that is for us. That's for You. That's for me. Dear God, I pray every single one here this morning would afresh acknowledge our sins before you. Dear God, we are sinners. I pray that if someone has not been born again, that the final mask would be taken off. I pray for those who have been born again, that the little mask we put on would be taken off. May we receive your life afresh. May we receive your life new. Holy Spirit, come now, I pray, into our hearts. Come now and fill us. And dear God, I ask that you would use us in this world to show the world what a genuine Christian looks like. Please, dear God, help us. For your glory and your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name.